Well, this morning we're going to start in Genesis chapter 32, basically with the story of Jacob and him actually wrestling with God. Now, those of you who know me, I have four boys. Three of those are by adoption. My oldest son is, I think he's 22 years old. His name is Jesse Aguilar. Maybe some of you guys know him. We adopted him about 4.5 years ago. And he likes to wrestle. And so what that has produced in my family is a bunch of boys that like to wrestle. And they like to wrestle Dad because Jesse's not always there. I got a little 6-year-old. And I can have him just tied in knots. And I say, you give up? No! He's not going to give up. He believes that he can still get free. That's kind of a picture of how, we need to have that when we're working with the Lord. Let's start here in verse 24 of Genesis 32. I used to kind of wonder why this story was in the Bible. Have you ever, read some of these stories, these things that God includes, and you go, why did God include that one? What's the significance to it? We know in the New Testament it says that the things of old were recorded for our instruction, right? Okay, so they're things that we should be able to apply today. So anyways, let's start here in verse 24. It says, then Jacob left alone. Or I guess just before we read, we're going to just give you a little more information. Basically, Jacob is heading back home, and he's getting prepared to meet his brother Esau. And so he's dividing up all his animals and his family into a couple companies, and he's afraid. He's afraid of Esau. The last time he saw his brother, or heard of his brother wanted him dead. And so he's going back to face brother. And so he prays to God and asks God to help him. And anyways, this is what transpires after he gets everything kind of split up and he's by himself. And so let's take a look at this. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was... Wait a minute. Okay, yeah, I'll keep going here. And he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Penuel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh. We're going to stop there. So basically, what we have here is we have Jacob wrestling with God. And he's wrestling with him, as far as we can tell, all night long. And so the sun's coming up, and God wants him to let go. Let me be free. Jacob says, no. Not unless you give me a blessing. I want the blessing. Now, how many of us here want a blessing from God? See, and there's many blessings promised in the Scripture. I think every Christian, to some degree, has struggles in their life. Has an uphill battle that they continue to climb, continue to work, to get to the Lord. Things that we're overcomers, right? Isn't that what the Scripture says? To he who overcomes. And so, as we overcome, some of that, I want to kind of relate this, is wrestling with God. There's times when all you got to go with is what God's Word says. You know, there's times when things are tough and you refer to Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know that with your own might, you're not going to make it. You know, to some degree, you know, before you became a Christian, that was your track record, wasn't it? You know, we weren't making it. But in Christ and by His power, we can overcome. We can make it through things, through situations. You know, and one thing, leastwise for me, sometimes and most of the time, the things that I have to overcome are things that I actually, you know, some of my actions, some of the things that I did caused me to be going through those things. You know, so really, you know, what it says here is that Jacob struggled with God and with men, and he prevailed. See, the man, the woman that you're going to struggle with the most is the one that is you. It's you. See, we must prevail. See, and it's actually through God that we're going to prevail. Anyways, you know, what has gotten me through, and I bet if you look at your track record, what has gotten you through is the Word of God. Okay, and so, you know, I don't know where you're at today. I don't. You know, some of you may be a Christian 5 days ago. Some of you may be a Christian, you know, 45 years. Okay, but this applies to all of us. Because we want to be overcomers. We want to be like Jesus. You know, a lot has been said about being like Jesus. And it's going to take some tremendous intensity. Do you think that Jacob had any intensity when he's holding on to God? Was there some intensity there? Was he going to let go? See, he wasn't going to let go. See, and so we've got to hold on. You know, it's going to be the ride of our life in Christianity, and we need to hold on to God. And in the end, we're going to get a blessing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Just kind of lay some groundwork. See, every one of us has got to do what the Scripture says. And what it comes down to is whether we like it or not to be overcomers. You know, because sometimes it's where we're at, it's not what we're ready to put on our plate, is it? But God presents it. There it is. And so, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. So number one, we got to be a people of faith. A people that believe what God says. See, in the end, see, just as Jacob got the blessing, see, God is the one who gives a reward. He is the rewarder of those who have faith, isn't He? See, and it's because we believe there's a reward that we will do what we do. And so we've got to hold on to that. Hold on to that. Hold on to Jesus with all our strength, soul, might. You know, isn't that what the Scripture tells us to do? And that's what it's going to take. And so, without faith, we can't even please God. So that's the beginning. That's where we start. You know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but maybe not. You know, maybe there's some people that aren't even Christians here. I don't know. And so, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we've got to be those who have faith. Where are we going to get that faith? You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so we've got to be individuals who spend some time with God in His Word. You know, spend time in the assembly. Spend time in the Sunday school classes. Because it will produce a faith that will last for eternity. See, it will produce an individual who can hold on when times are tough. Because sometimes we allow the fleshly guy to come back to life. We have a fleshly moment, don't we? And boy, it's at that time that we're going to have that picture of faith to get us back on track. Okay? And so, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. You know, it's been talked about how Jesus was perfect. Jesus was tempted in all things as we are. And I just want to, you know, show you here in Matthew chapter 4. See, how did Jesus overcome those temptations? See, how are you going to overcome temptation? How are you going to, you know, hold on to God? See, and this is how Jesus did it. He shows us by example. See, we basically just simply follow in His steps. He has showed us how. And so, here in Matthew chapter 4, we have a really good example. Let's start in verse 1 there. It says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after He had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, then He became hungry. And the tempter came and said to Him, 'If You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.' And He answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Okay, basically what Jesus did is He reached inside. You know, He'd been a student of His Word, and He grabbed some Scripture to overcome this temptation. Think about it. How many days have you been without food? How many days have you fasted? I mean, how many of you are hungry right now? Okay, how would you like to go 40 days? Now, granted, I mean, I think that He was in tremendous prayer. I think that His mindset was already there. But it gives us a picture of when those trials come, how we're going to overcome them. We're going to have to reach in with the Scriptures we know, you know, and overcome. See, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. And so, how are we going to know every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? We are going to have to know this book. We're going to have to spend some time in it. And so, you know, one thing that was told me and when I first became a Christian is, you know, form good habits early. And one thing that they do in Great Falls, I'm actually from Great Falls, is they have a memory work chart. They got it on the wall, and they memorize Scripture. See, and it was those Scriptures that I memorized when I was a baby Christian that I could grab hold of as a baby Christian. And also, they develop the picture of who you are in Christ Jesus. Because if you don't get the picture, how are you going to stand? See, notice how Satan attacks Jesus here. See, Jesus had just been immersed, come up out of the water, and God declares, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." See, when you came up out of the water, who did you become? The Son of God. And so Satan says, "If you are the Son of God." See, if. See, was there any question in Jesus' mind? See, can there be a question? Think about that new baby Christian. Think about maybe where you were at, you know, 3, 5, 10, however many years ago. See, it was knowing who you were when you came up out of that water that was able to get you through many, many times. And so we need to have that picture. We need to hold on to that picture. I am a child of God. See, we are spiritual beings. We are not fleshly beings. So we don't need to live on the things of the flesh. See, and that's what Satan is offering here, isn't it? You know, and he goes on and he offers other physical things. But this is just an example for us so that we can hold on. Hold on to God. See, hold on to His Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man may be adequate or perfectly equipped for every good work. All Scripture, every one of them. What we look there, you know, in Exodus or in Genesis 32, that Jacob, that's written for our instruction. Jacob wanted a blessing. He held on. He held on to God. He held on to Jesus. You know, this is an appearance of Jesus. See, the same Jesus you're holding on to. Let's turn and take a look at Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, we have what the Scripture calls the father of the faithful, Abraham. Abraham. know, those of you who have kids, you can learn a lot from your kids. And I learn a lot about yourself, especially. You know, I have one son that I have to look back at myself as a little guy to understand where his mind is even at so that I can respond the right way. You know, what did I need when I was his age? Well, anyways, let's take a look here at Genesis 22, 1 through 4. It says, now it came about, and I'm going to, basically God made Abraham a promise. And he told him that he was going to have a son. And through that son, you know, all the families of the earth would be blessed, right? Okay? Well, then God tells him, you know, and this is what we're going to look at, is to go offer his son. He says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Okay, so you got this brand new baby boy. I want you to take him and I want a burnt offering on the mountain. And I'll tell you which one. Notice these next four words. It says, Abraham rose early. You know, there wasn't a big discussion in the tent, you know, with his wife Sarah. God says, this is what he wants me to do. What do I do? See, now, we're children of God. Okay, if I ask my children or tell them to do something, when do I want the obedience? Right now? Okay, so if they're running for the street, okay, and the bus is coming, and I say stop, when do I want that stop to happen? Another 20 steps? See, I want it right now. See, we're children of God. And so as children, when we come across, you know, or when God speaks to us, like he spoke here to Abraham, when does he expect us to handle that? You know, and I'm not saying it's easy. See, we have to train our children to get to that point, don't we? Well, who's going to train us to get to that point? See, we're going to train ourselves. But it's through those small obediences that eventually we will get there to where we will, you know, the scripture says he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. We will obey the big things as well. But we need to build that track record in the small. Build that track record, God said, I do. And sometimes I realize it's easier said than done. See, that's where there's a wrestling, isn't there? See, we don't find here that Abraham wrestled with it. He didn't wrestle with what God said. The scripture says he did not waver in unbelief. He didn't waver in unbelief when God said he was going to have Isaac. And here, you know, let's see. Basically, in Hebrews 11, we find, you know, in the New Testament that he considered that God was able to raise the dead. He thought about it. He spent some time thinking about what God said. Okay. You know, and basically he had 3 days to think about it, didn't he? But the thing is, man, that early that first morning, he was out the door. And so, you know, this gives us a picture of how we need to respond as children of God to the Word of God when He speaks to you. Because He's speaking to your heart all the time when you're spending time in His Word. He's speaking to your heart right now in this assembly. He's going to speak to your heart as every guy gets up and speaks today. See, but will you take the time to consider, to contemplate what God is speaking to you? See, do some thinking about it. See, God likes us. You know, He says, come now, let us reason together. He wants us to reason through and do. With a child, there's no reasoning through initially, is there? As they get older, you want them to reason through because you want them to be able to then reason through this. But initially, it's just respond. And so, you know, for the new Christian, respond. Do what God says. Build that track record. Scripture says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, the things of this world want you. Satan has put them in the world to get you. He's got the world. He's got the world. I can only speak for myself, but, I don't get the paper at my house, but if I did, there would be the tendency for me to pick that up before I ever picked up my Bible. Okay, that's my tendency. Okay? Man, we got all this technology today. You know, you got if you're Facebook. All this technology, all these ways to go and get information, you know, receive information. See, where are you at? See, if the opportunity to read your Bible, to spend time with God, to build your faith so that you can stand was there, or to get on your Facebook page, or to get on somebody else's Facebook page, or whatever. See, where would you go? See, again, I can only speak for me, but we need to sometimes take a look at these things and walk by faith. Walk by faith. Scripture says to walk in the same manner as He walked. If Jesus had today's paper, the Chronicle, or He had the Word of God before Him, what would Jesus do? Because I want to walk like Jesus walked, right? Not that Jesus wouldn't want to know current events. He might check it out, but I think He'd spend time in the Word first. The Scripture says that all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Sometimes the things that we decide, the decisions we make, aren't the profitable decision. Scripture says to walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love as Jesus loved, right? See, now how are we going to walk in love? We're going to have to find out what love is. And is there only one love in the Scripture? See, there's quite a few different loves in the Scripture, isn't there? Our English language just has one word for love. The Greek has many. And so what love do we walk in? Do we really love our wives, as Christ loved the church? That's sacrificial love, by the way. See, when that Scripture is presented, do we try to love our wives like Christ loved the church? Walk as children of light. See, was Jesus a light? See, we're imitating Jesus, so we're going to be a light to this world. We're going to shine. Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. See, all these things, I'm just scratching the surface what the Scripture has for us. What I did is I wrote down some things that at times maybe I struggled with. Because, again, there's that struggling with God. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Scripture tells us to bring the whole tithe. In fact, let's go ahead and turn there. I see most of you are already turning there. That's awesome. He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Do you notice? If we'll do this, we'll get the blessing. He'll open the windows of heaven. See, what did Jacob want from the Lord? He wanted a blessing. And so we held on. See, tithing can be hard. You can have signed on the dotted line one too many times, and you got more outgo than you got coming in. I mean, that's the status of America, isn't it? Okay? So, when God says to bring the tithe, tithe is 10%. That's a tenth of, you know, the top number, not after taxes. That's before taxes. See, God wants the tithe. And notice He says, just bring it. See, what that means is, as far as He's concerned, it's His. If you're not bringing it, it's because you think it's yours. But it's His. He just says to bring it. See, and if we'll bring it, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. He's going to open. Man, who here wants the windows of heaven opened up for you? All of us. All of us do. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first of all your produce. See, you know, this is something that, I don't know, maybe every working male has to deal with if their wife stays at home. You know, my wife, she has complained that all I have left for when I get home is the leftovers. You know, I've spent everything else. Okay? You know, we're married to Jesus. See, does Jesus want your leftovers? Or does He want your first fruits? He says to bring the first. See, and so that means you're going to have to set your pace all day so you got something left over, and it can't be the leftovers. It's actually got to be your best for your wife. You know, you wives, for your husbands. I mean, you've been going all day too. You know, you've been chasing kids. You've been cooking meals. You've been cleaning. See? And does husband get leftovers? Or does he get the first fruits? See, in our relationship, a lot of times, our marriage relationships will mirror our relationship with God. And so God wants us to bring the first fruits. So if you're going to bring the tithe, bring the first fruits. Don't pay the bills and then, okay, I got $5 left for God. Okay, now this isn't easy. See, this might be the wrestling match that you're in right now. But God promises a blessing. Let's look at verse 10. He says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, there's the blessing. There's the blessing. This is another one that people can struggle with. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, some people, man, they've never been spanked as a child. Or maybe they got five lickings and they remember every one. And some of them were really, I mean, they just messed with their psyche. It was so dramatic. And so how could that be a positive thing? How could God be right? You know, people struggle with this one, don't they? To train up a child in the way they should go. I mean, the Scripture says, you know, not even to spare for their crying. Give them the discipline they need. Because how many of you have ever done this? You get in trouble, and you think, if I cry, I won't get as bad as paddling. And do you think your kids do that? They do. They try to manipulate the situation. Kids are so smart. I mean, they really are. And so, see, God wants us to train them. See, now train them isn't a one-time thing. It's a continual thing. See, in the process, we're being trained by God, aren't we? See, we're being trained too as we're training those children. See, but this might be a struggle that you're going through, but man, hold on to God's Word. And there's a blessing. See, there's a blessing. It says that when your child is old, he will not depart from it. You don't want your child to go the ways of the world. You want your child to end up in heaven with you. There's a blessing. See, many times in Scripture, He lays out what we need to do, and then He lays out the blessing. See, we've got to believe the blessing's there. Sometimes you can't see it initially, but it's coming. I planted a garden at my house, you know, like 3.5 months ago, and I'm finally getting some fruit. And that's how sowing, you know, and watering are. There's always that time delay. But remember that God promises a blessing. You know, hang in there. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. You know, a lot of things that we do in the church, we do from the example of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, this is what the early church did. It says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That word continually devoting is something that you do every day. I actually had to confirm this with my older sister, but my mom, as long as I can remember, goes out and gets the morning paper. As long as I can remember. And as long as my sister, who's older than I am, can remember. See, that's being continually devoted to something. She's continually devoted. In fact, we can show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and mom has already gotten up. And my mom's getting close to 80. She has already gone out, walked out the driveway, got the paper, and it's laying on the table. Yeah, if we go to visit, or if we're... They actually have a guest house. Sometimes we spend the night out there. We'll come over, and there it is. It's already there. See, continually devote is something that you do every day. See, the apostles continually, or not the apostles, the early church continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Okay, do we have the apostles' teaching? See, we do. See, we want to, it's something that we want to do every day. We want to devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching every day. How about fellowship? See, we live in a time when people have their picket fence. Actually, it's not a picket fence anymore. It's a privacy fence, isn't it? The picket fence is something of old, isn't it? And instead of having the front porch and the porch swing, now they have everything out back. With the privacy fence. Okay, now, see, that's something that can slip into the church. You know, we just hang out with us and our family. See, it says to fellowship. Fellowship. See, why? It's going to get your mind set on others, and you're going to find out things that you didn't know about those individuals, maybe even needs. And they're going to find out things about you. Maybe even some needs that they can fulfill. And it gives them an opportunity. Who here likes a handout? You like handouts? Okay, well, here's one. No. I'm going to hand out as far as, you know, who here wants somebody to just give you money? It's really hard for me to accept money from people. Or, you know, I mean, but see, if there's nobody to give to, see, there's got to be somebody that's on the receiving end of that. And so we need to learn how to receive. Giving's great, but sometimes we've got to learn how to receive. You know, and I mean, I realize that's kind of, you know, my thing, but it says that they continually devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Okay, you're here. You know, we're going to have the breaking of bread here, you know, in an hour and a half or so. See, but it's something you continually devote. They assembled on the first day of the week to break bread. And so where does a Christian need to be? See, and it's, again, setting up those good habits early. You know, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Well, guess what? We're going to be in the assembly. We're going to be, you know, with the saints breaking bread. See, and you need to set that up as your habit early. So it just becomes what you do on Sunday. I remember it was a few years back. Mike Harbour and his wife, they came and they spent a couple of days at our house. Marshall was playing basketball there in Helena. And Mike mentioned, he goes, gosh, he goes, I remember the days when assembly mornings were just a wreck. I mean, you know, you're getting upset at the wife. And, you know, I thought, you know, we went through that too. You know, and a lot of families do. It's hard to get out the door. It's hard to have that positive. I mean, you know, sure, when you walk in the door, then it's. But getting there is not like that. But see, once you form the habit, you know, I mean, what it made me think of is, you know, we went from that to where it's no problem. Because of the habit. It was tough initially getting that habit in place, but once it was in place, now it's easy. I mean, it's still a lot of work when you got five kids, you know, and especially a baby and so on. I mean, of course, you know, they'll spit up or do their diaper at about the time it's, you know, you're walking out the door. But that's the joy of it, right? And you know, in all honesty, that's, you know, my wife is so good. That's how she responds to it. She actually sometimes just gets happy and let's go for it. Anyways, you know, God wants us to, you know, really hold on to these things. Prayer. Prayer. You know, when you're in trouble with mom and dad, and mom says, wait till your dad gets home. Do you want to see dad? Is dad the one you want to see? See, sometimes we get in that same spiritual rut that we got into as a child, and we don't want to spend time with our daddy in prayer. We don't want to take things to him because maybe we've done something wrong. But the Scripture says that, you know, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We then stand pure in His sight, and we can go and talk to Him and lay the things out before Him. And He'll talk to you, you know, through His Word. And so, again, these are things that we need to continually devote ourselves to. See, but sometimes you can wrestle with every one of these, can't you? You know, and maybe you are right now. But put the habits in place. Form those habits. Make them who you are. See, and it will be who you are. Scripture in Philippians 2:12. You know, I figured, being we're going to Philippians, I had to have at least one Philippians. It says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, the flesh doesn't really like to work. You know, I can't speak again for all of you, but I actually like to work. Now, as a kid, I ran from work. In fact, this is my dad's rendition is play, 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 play. That if he said that, it was in reference to me. Now, I got a younger brother. Some of you guys might know him. I mean, he's actually bigger than I am. And anyways, he was the kind of kid that just loved to work in the garage. I was raised on a farm, by the way. And so all winter long, you worked on the machinery, so it was all ready to go as soon as you could go. Well, Dan, he just loved to work in the garage. And guess what? He's a mechanic, by the way, now. Of course, he's learned to hate it, but he used to love it. Anyways, I mean, he loved it. And so he was out in the garage, you know, and so I got this label that I like to play. See, and sometimes that's our tendency. I actually do have to attribute my ability to work. My dad trained me to work. See, again, he put in the extra efforts because I like to play. There had to be extra efforts to get me to learn how to work. And see, guess what? This is kind of how I work. I don't know how you work, but when Dad made me have to do the work, I was going to get it done as fast as possible because then I could go play. And so, see, when God presents something to you, do it now. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a work. You know, making it to heaven, saying you're going to wrestle with God. I mean, I realize that the majority of the wrestling happens right inside of here. But it's only because he presented his word and said, this is what you need to do. And so hang on to him with all your strength, soul, and mind. Be an overcomer. Be a victor. Even when it's tough. You know, another scripture that's in Romans, it says, if God is for us, who is against us? Did Jesus ever have to stand alone? I mean, he basically went to the cross alone, didn't he? And so sometimes we feel like we're standing alone, but we're not. See, we always stand with him. And so in that, we have the victory. He has given us the victory. He did all the work. And so we want to glorify him. We want to be like Jacob. We want to hold on to everything that the Lord has written down for us. Do those things. Carry them out to, I mean, with all your strength, might, and soul. And in the end, there's an eternal blessing, isn't there? You know, some of these things we're covering, there's a physical blessing that we can see. But see, we want to go for that we can't see, for the eternal. And so hold on. Don't let go. And don't think about letting go. You know, that's the other struggle that personally I'd have to say I've had, is I've personally thought about letting go. And you don't want to go with that one. See, you got to continually use that word that's in you, and it pulls you back. So hang on. You know, you're in for the ride of your life as a Christian. It's the greatest thing going. There's nothing like it. And so, go for the blessing. And go through whatever it takes between here and there. Hold on.